Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to Films of Fury after a much needed hiatus and an extended break over the summer so that your two podcasting hosts with the most could play dad, play sports, and quite frankly try and die on the side of mountains, which is always an exciting summer. We're back, and
We're back, bitches.
I, of course, am your host, Sergeant Fury, and as always, accompanied with the man, the myth, the legend, the one and only, the incomparable, the uncanny, Evan McLeod.
Yo, what's going up, everybody?
Okay, so in case people were wondering what the hell happened to us, so we're going to give you what they refer to in Spaceballs as the short virgin. Version, not virgin. The short version, virgin. Jesus. There ain't no virgins around here. This is Hudson Falls. But, so, me. I ran up mountains. I nearly died. I hung out with my kid. I ran up more mountains and nearly died. Evan?
Mine. Coached baseball during the summertime. Spent time with my kids. Then went right into football season, and we just finished our last regular season game today. We made the playoffs, so playoffs start sometime next month, and dealing with kidney stones.
So, health issues, near-death experiences, and small people with helmets and body armor. So that sounds about right. So,
yep, sums up Batman pretty much.
Sums up an army of bat children. So yes. We're not here to talk about Batman tonight because, Evan, my God, we have a movie to talk about. It's been a long while since we've both been to the movies to actually see movies. Yep. And we have both seen Rambo Last Blood.
Yes, sir. Now, I may be too quick to jump on it, but I will say out of every Rambo movie, probably in my top two.
You know, it's a very nice way of ending the series. So we're going to obviously talk about this in great lengths, but we're not going to give ultimate spoilers because... You know, with this one, you can kind of assume by the title of the film what this exactly is, but we're just going to go balls deep in this film, just like the violence in this movie went balls deep in the audience's eye sockets. Holy shit. So,
yeah.
So, in essence, if you're going to see a movie, an action movie, basically just a cut you down, gut you like a fish film, Rambo Last Blood is it. Now, I didn't think the series could get much gorier than what it did with the last installment, Rambo. It just took the gore in a different direction. It wasn't war gore like the atrocities in Burma were represented in Rambo. It was just a different kind of in-your-face gore.
Yeah, I will say I really enjoyed Rambo because I thought it was just a really just good movie, especially coming out of Rambo 3. Even my father was like, that was a really good movie. He goes, I think it's one of my favorite ones. And my dad loves Rambo. So this one, I have to say, I thought really kind of kept it going with the last one. I am kind of sad to say there will not be another one.
Yeah, and, you know, we can obviously start getting into the film. So where you were with Rambo... is it, you know, from obviously Rambo part the fourth one. You saw him come home to Arizona, and the thing with that was is that I can remember I was in the theaters with a group of friends when we went and saw this. And, you know, we went in and you see the very violent, gory ending of Rambo. And we're just kind of sitting there and we're like, you know, holy shit. And then you see him walking down the road and he gets to the long driveway and you see the mountains in the back. And one of my friends, Todd, just looked over and said, well, we know where he's going to be killing people in the next one. And I just kind of sat there. I was like, do we really need one more Rambo? Like, this was kind of a nice way of ending the series off. And in fact, it comes to pass that, oh yeah, not only did we need another Rambo, but it was his last hurrah as the character altogether. So, you know, the trailers have been kind of upfront with the film. So let's just get into it. You know, Sylvester Stallone helped co-write this film along with Matthew Serlinick, I guess.
Yeah, something like that.
I mean, it had a buttload of producers attached to this. Adrian Grunberg directed this film. Sly did not direct this. He directed Rambo, the last one, you know, only because the director they had lined up, there was differences in creative opinions, so he fell out of the project. Sly came in and directed, you know, a great action film with that one. But there was this strange sympathy for the character, which we've all had since First Blood, the movie, in that he's home, he's taking a shitload of meds in order to cope with being back in the United States. He's living on his horse ranch and cattle ranch in Arizona. Yep. And it's just, I don't want to call it a sad existence, but you can tell he just never let go. He never let go of Vietnam.
Nope. Not at all. Has never let go. Still thinks about everything of what happened afterwards, too. You know, still kind of, you know, it's very hard not to spoil this movie. He even tells his niece that the pain's still there.
Yeah, and, you know, it's obvious because one of the things that you see in the trailer is you see this intricate tunnel system where he's home alone, joking, killing bad guys right and left. And the ironic part of that is he's built those tunnels themselves. They're tunnels that he has on his property. He has an intricate tunnel system, much like the Viet Cong, who he fought as a Green Beret in Vietnam. He's got that on his own property. He's got a workshop underground. He lives underground. He's got this great farmhouse above, but it's almost a front for this, you know, dark secret that he has under the ground underneath the storm door.
Yep, yep. So I will say, I think one of the funniest lines was him talking about when he tells his niece, she can bring her friends over and show him the tunnels, and she's like, you'd never let anybody see your tunnels. And he's like, they're your friends. So if you trust them, I trust them. You know, like, he's trying to, I guess you could say he's trying to really become normal in a sense, but still harbors a way of not wanting to trust people.
Yeah, and one of the funny lines with that one was, is, you know, he, you know, she tells him, you know, that, you know, she tells her friends, yeah, my uncle's crazy. You know what I mean? Like, he likes to dig and he's crazy. It's like,
yep.
that's kind of funny. And there's actually this one scene where Rambo is working on some, ironworks, like he was in Rambo. He brings that skill to the farm where he works. So he's making, various farm, tools and whatnot, with his own homemade iron shop. And he begins to have a flashback while underneath in his very own caves. And you saw that and you're just like, you know, he can't shake it. I mean, at least over in that part of the world, following Rambo First Blood Part 2, when he stayed over in Thailand and eventually, you know, found refuge there in, you know, parts 3 and 4. There was at least he knew his place. Like, if things needed to get violent, he was able to get violent with very little repercussions. In this one, he's just taking medication and almost like just waiting to die. You know, he even acknowledges that he's just he can be a terrible person. He just keeps it, you know, a lid on it, so to speak. So this dark shadow of this Rambo character is always looming. And his surrogate niece, Gabriella, who's played by Yvette Monreal, really just your typical, I hate to call it a typical damsel in distress role for her, but she is a young girl who's getting ready to go off to college, and a friend of hers finds her biological father across the border in Mexico, and she just wants to know why her father left. So, against Rambo and her aunt's wishes, she decides to cross the border and go find out what is the story. Yep. And after kind of a real harsh meeting, she finds out that her dad not only isn't the person that she was hoping he would be, it's actually was just an uncomfortable scene. Wouldn't you agree?
Is. Oh, yeah. I mean, as a father of three, you know, I could never say that to any of my kids. But I mean, there are plenty of fathers out there that who are not fathers, you know. And I can that's real right there, because there are plenty of people out there that are like that would tell their kids something like that. So I mean, like. That as a father cuts deep, because you think about that type of stuff. You could never say it to your own kid, and to have that actually happen and witness on something that's, you know, as big as a movie, and I'm taking a real life scenario we all know is out there and really just putting it there. I mean, and that's to me, that's always been a thing with any Rambo movie, though. There's always been that real life, like, we try and get as close. They always try and write him getting as close to the real world.
Yeah, and I was gonna bring that up, because what happens next is, you know, Gabriella has a friend, Giselle, who is the one that managed to get this meeting to take place. She got the address of her father for her, and then she is like, you know, you can't drive back over the border tonight. You're too upset. Let's go out to the club. And then Gabrielle finds herself being drugged and sold into the sex trafficking, down in Mexico, which Rambo has always, the Rambo movies, strangely enough, have always reflected something that's going on in modern, you know, times at that time. You know, First Blood obviously was the treatment of the Vietnam vets coming home from the war. Although it was, you know, Rambo, our first introduction to Rambo via First Blood, you know, it was one man versus, you know, the National Guard and, you know, obviously more Teasel, you know, the chief of police in that one, in Madison. But the one thing that really got me was is that it was basically talking about, especially his last speech, his breakdown in the police department. after he damn near destroys an entire town, is you could see the pain in his face where he's like, you know, I used to be able to fly helicopters and was in charge of millions of dollars worth of equipment, and now I can't get a job parking cars. It's like that was kind of the alienation that our Vietnam vets felt when they came home.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And then part two, you know, First Blood part two, talked about the POWs that were suspected to still be in Vietnam. And it, you know, obviously the Cold War played a factor in that, because not only were the, you know, the Vietnamese the enemies in that movie, but the big bad Russian scourge was in there. And then it really, you know, was in your face when in Rambo 3 it was the Afghanis that we were helping in the Afghan-Russian war, which did not age terribly well going back and watching that movie before going and seeing Last Blood. It's like, that one didn't age beautifully.
Yep.
Not exactly. But then, you know, the conflict in Burma for Rambo. And now this one talking about sex trafficking.
Yep. I mean, that's the big thing. Is like Rambo has always been real life scenarios. Nothing really far fetched. I mean, outside the way he kills people. I mean, not saying that someone may not kill people the way that he does, but I mean, he is the epitome of being a real superhero, I guess you could say. You know, and to kind of piggyback off that and what with what you're reading, you know, he is pegged as more of a hero in the Rambo movies. Not so much in the book.
In the book, you know, and on we talked about this on the Necrocasticon last week, because obviously I had to defend that the film against author Tom Clark, who's a huge fan of the only book in the entire Rambo series. Because for those of you who don't know, spoiler alert, in the original book by David Morrell, First Blood, Rambo doesn't make it out the book at the end. Unlike the film, where for the film First Blood, where they had tested a version of the film in which Rambo commits suicide via forcing Troutman to shoot him. Which the test audiences did not like it. You know, they were taken on this roller coaster, and at the end it was just like, fuck. You know, and Sly Stallone told them, you don't kill the hero at the end of your movie. Audiences won't accept it, and the end was changed, maybe with the thought process of sequels in mind, or maybe it just would have been a really good standalone film. But
But he also took liberties on the movie. The movie was supposed to follow the book entirely, but he did take some liberties on the movie to change more than just the ending.
Oh, absolutely.
You think about it, like he's given, you're giving complete and utter sympathy for Rambo.
Yeah, and that was one of the things, was if you go back and you compare the two, if you compare First Blood the book and First Blood the movie, in the movie, the only people that die are the one sheriff's deputy who falls out of the helicopter, but one could argue he fell out of the helicopter because he unbuckled his seatbelt.
Yep.
Okay. Yes, Rambo threw a rock, but he unbuckled his seatbelt. So had he still been buckled in, he maybe would have lived, you know?
Correct, yes.
And then the other two officers that were in pursuit of Rambo as he was heading back into the town, their car flipped and they died. One could argue, though, that was because not of Rambo's driving, but because they lost control of their vehicle.
Correct.
So Rambo technically didn't kill anybody. Did he do a lot of damage? Yeah, he destruction of property, definitely. Attempted murder, probably. But in the book, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. He murders. Like,
oh, he is a cold-blooded murderer.
Yeah, like
he don't care. All he sees is Vietnamese.
Yeah, he sees targets in his way. He sees, you know, people who are trying to hurt him. And really, the funny part about the book versus the movie, and we can get into this later, is it was two generations of military fighting each other. It was a Korean War veteran versus a Vietnam War veteran. And neither, you know, it may have just been underneath the layers, and you just keep discovering it, as I discovered when I got the book on audio. It's one of those stories that I think, for the time that they were trying to do, because I think they were trying to do an A to Z action film, the layers would have been lost on the audience, because I don't think you could have put that much into that film. Much like if you look at Jaws the book,
yes,
at times is a hot, soupy mess, like, because you've got the mafia, and Hooper is sleeping with Mrs. Brody, and Quint actually dies in a very Captain Ahab way, and I think Hooper gets eaten. Yeah, Hooper dies in the book. I mean, he gets eaten through the shark cage, and there's all this different stuff. And then you watch the movie. The movie is, in many ways, superior to the book that Peter Benchley put out.
Yeah, I've heard that. I've never touched the Jaws book.
I'm not going to say
I have heard that.
I'm not going to say it's a difficult read, but yeah, when you get into it and you're just like, some of the stuff that you read and you hear, it's just like, I prefer the movie better, which is strange because, you know, when it comes to Rambo, there are people who are like, First Blood is it, and then there are people who are like, the movies. But with this, we're simply talking about, like, the movie franchise, and, you know, in typical Rambo fashion, Rambo decides he's going to go to Mexico and he's going to try and get his niece back, and you've seen it in the trailers. It doesn't end well because the Martinez brothers, who head the sex trafficking ring as well as one of the deadly cartels in Mexico for the purposes of this movie, they fuck Rambo up real badly. He ends up with a severe concussion, lacerations, his face is all mangled. Actually, pretty much the first time we ever saw Rambo really get fucked up like that quick.
Yeah.
Which goes to show his age and his lack of skill set in an urban war environment. Because he's always been in the mountains or he's been in the jungle fighting. He hasn't had to fight in a city.
No, he's always been able to basically sneak up on people, you know, and never really gone one-on-one. Well, really, 30-on-1.
Yeah,
you know, like, he's always had the element of surprise.
And during his recovery, you know, he's picked up by a freelance reporter off the side of the road whose sister was sold into the sex trade. And she at least gets him medical attention and hides him for a few days. But during that few days time, unfortunately, Rambo's niece is victim to forced heroin injections. And, you know, she's raped repeatedly for profit, you know, in a flop house, essentially. And then the movie just takes a dark turn from there. And I'm sitting there watching it, and I'm like, when Rambo wakes up, every one of them is dead.
Yep.
And because other than Rambo getting his ass kicked, we didn't see Rambo be violent yet. And when Rambo does, holy shit. I mean, it is just in-your-face gore. Right off the rip. The first person Rambo does anything to, I mean, is immense, because the first person he gets violent with, he stabs him in the thigh and then stabs him in the collarbone and then shoves his thumb through the collarbone and snaps the collarbone repeatedly until he gets the information he wants. It's like, it almost made you go like, bleh! You know, like, oh, yep. Holy shit, I can't believe that they did that.
Oh, yeah.
And then he takes and goes the Home Depot route with a claw hammer to an entire, you know, flop house of cartel members. Holy shit. It was almost like I was sitting there watching this being like, this is Rambo Unleashed. Like this, yep. if the last Rambo film was him in the jungle of Burma, really cutting loose as far as his mercenary skill, this was yep. him just being raw, unadulterated gore.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it was great though. Yep. I thought that was an awesome scene. But I will say my favorite scene is when he brings his niece back home, and then goes back, and like clearly all I saw was Michael Myers horror movie of him walking, like he literally just takes out these bodyguards and then walks into a bedroom, and the next scene you're like, okay.
Yeah, and there is this very funny moment about the scene that we're talking about where it is very much, that's a great description. I didn't even look at it from the perspective of him being much like Michael Myers or Jason, he was a force of nature in this film.
Yep.
Once the button got pushed and Rambo was on his last mission, and you could yep. see it in the character at one point where it was, there's no turning back. Like, everyone is going to die from this point in the film on. There is no way to there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. There isn't going to be a soul left standing by the end of this.
Nope.
And the funniest part was when he's driving down the road and you just see him toss a head out the window.
Oh, it was so good.
And I'm just sitting here, I'm like, first off, how did you make it through customs with that head? Like, did you have it in a backpack stored, you know, behind the...
I don't think he goes through customs, though.
Do you think he just...
He didn't go through customs with his niece.
That's... he had to have been like, well, fuck this, and go over a border fence. See, this is why Trump needs to build that wall. It's so John Rambo doesn't just bring severed cartel heads.
Listen, John Rambo would find a way over that wall.
John Rambo would find his way into the White House. So, then we get
that's
to
another thing about the book.
Go ahead.
His name is not John Rambo in the book.
No, it's just Rambo.
Rambo,
and
that's it.
And I think the John was added later. Johnny Get Your Gun.
Yeah.
Dalton Trumbo book.
Yeah. Yes, correct.
They added that later on because they figured, well, we got to give him a name. You know, for the film, we got to give him a first name. So John Rambo was the deciding factor. And I've actually read that book. And it was funny because the first time I read Johnny Got His Gun, it was while I was in high school. And it was in the... But we had the library, which had books, obviously, that you could just, you know, check out and shit. But there was a back room of books that were like... not quite banned books, but they weren't books that really anyone looked for. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
So
I mean, that's what you kind of do at a library. You do check out books.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, dude, it was like 20 fucking years ago, so get off my dick. So it was 20 years ago when I first read the book. Lick my ass. And the reason I read it was because I was a huge Metallica fan, and I had the 2-for-1 VHS, which had both versions of the one music video, and Lars did the introduction interview thing at the beginning where he was talking about the book and, you know, how they were the movie. And I got the book, and it was like, it's a very graphic book. You know, it's not, there's no glorification of war in that book, much like there's no glorification of war in First Blood either. And I mean, you know, we could talk about the comparisons between First Blood, the book, versus the movie all day long, and I'll get to that in a minute. But when Rambo finally just lures the cartel onto his property in Arizona, what was that about? 25 minutes of just the most grisly deaths that they could come up with.
Oh, it was so good.
I mean, everything from punji sticks to arrows to blades getting wong. The barbaric knife that he made in Rambo. It's funny because in his little cave, in his underground tunnel system, he has an arms room, and on the wall, on a plaque, is that knife that he gutted the pedophile general for the Burmese army with, and he's using it in this one. Oh my god, so many good deaths. Like,
I think my favorite thing that he used, though, was the knife that he made his niece.
Oh god, yeah.
Yeah.
You mean the letter opener?
The letter opener. Yeah, the letter opener.
No one sends letters anymore, Uncle John. Then you can use it to stab someone. It's like, whoa. It's like, no one stabs people, Uncle John. You're not allowed to do that at college either.
Oh, so good.
And, you know, it ends... so, I compared this to a couple of movies. Because, you know... That's kind of what you have to do. It's like, well, when you're pitching this film to people to watch, like I do at work, and I'm sure you did it at work, and with some of the other people, like parents and whatnot, of the kids you were coaching, I got asked, you know, what would you compare it to? And I said, in some respects, it was Gran Torino, Unforgiven, and Logan, strangely enough.
Yes.
Like, all wrapped into one, because... You know, I'm two out of the three are Clint Eastwood movies, and one of them was inspired by Clint Eastwood. So, I mean, that's kind of the way I viewed it. But it was, you knew this was a suicide mission. You knew it was a suicide mission the moment Rambo woke up from his concussion-induced coma.
Correct.
You knew from that point forward, Rambo knew that he was not making it out of this alive. Or if he was... It would not be pretty.
No. Nope.
And by the end of this film, you know, you have a very bloody, very drained Rambo sitting in a rocking chair as the sun is going down.
Yep.
And it's a beautiful Western image. Like, that's one of the other things, I guess, is that this movie was... For all intents and purposes, it was a Western. It was not your typical Rambo in the mountains, in the jungle, like we've become accustomed to with the four previous installments of the Rambo story. It was a Western. It played like a Western. And, you know, if you sat through the credits, you know, they had scenes and glimpses from each one of the Rambo films, including this one. And really, you could almost call it the deleted ending, where, you know, you see what becomes of the character. And when I left the film, I told myself, you know, that was a good ending. Like, that's a good ending for this particular character, who really shouldn't have made it past the first film. If you want to be honest, comparing the book to the movie, he shouldn't have made it past the first. And we've just... been lucky enough, despite the we both called it when we said we were going to be seeing this movie, the backlash to the amount of violence and perceived xenophobia with this movie, you know, that notwithstanding, pretty good way to end the character, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I thought it was a great way to end the character, but still, here's the thing, it's still open-ended.
Do you think so, or do you think that he was going in a direction where it's like, okay, he accepted his fate. Now that it's done, he's got nothing. He's got nothing. It's just done.
I mean, if it's just he's got nothing, we're good. I mean, realistically, yeah, he has nothing to live for. But, so, all right, here's my question. There's still, they gave you a bunch more questions without giving you answers.
Okay.
Ready? His niece, ready?
Yep.
His niece. Is her father his brother, or is her mother his sister? They don't define who is who.
Now, I took it as it was more of a surrogate uncle than...
See, I don't know because she, the woman, the one woman, the grandmother?
No, the aunt.
The aunt?
Yeah.
She makes the words that he was there a lot. So, I'm trying to figure out, because the father and him clearly know each other.
Oh, yeah, because they said that at one point in time, you know, Gabrielle's father was beating her mother, and Rambo stepped in.
Yeah, so he knows... He knew more. Like,
because he's been home for, I think, 12 years. Because Rambo took place in 2000, I believe it was 2008? 2007.
Yes.
Yeah, 2007. So it's been 12 years. So if Gabrielle was supposed to be 18 going off to college, then she would have been 6. So, theoretically, she wouldn't have remembered her mom getting beat up by her dad. No, and John Rambo would have been there all those years being the uncle.
I mean, if she's 18, and that was 2008, you said?
2007. I can type in, obviously, in our magical Google machine and find out when we... had it. Okay, so Rambo was 2008. I'm sorry, it was the beginning of it was February 2008. So, in theory, it's been 11 years. She's supposed to be 18. So, yeah, okay, completely understand where that could have worked.
Yep.
Okay.
So, but I think, like, looking at the pictures, though.
Yeah.
I almost feel like there was more to those pictures. If you really paid attention to the pictures,
yeah,
there were pictures up there that were older.
Oh, of John as a kid. So, yes. So do you think that John had two sisters?
I'm trying to figure out is, I feel like that might have been his brother.
You know, that's a very good point.
So if that's her aunt, like if that's Gabriella's aunt, and he's Uncle John, they're all of them are related.
Yeah, so
because it's not too far fetched because he understands what they're saying.
Oh well, that was the other thing is that you found out that not only was. As funny as it sounds, John Rambo may have been Hispanic.
Correct.
Because
the name, yeah. Rambo.
I mean, and one of the things is that in the film, you know, they're speaking to each other in Spanish. And then there's the scene where he is confronting the cartel and they start talking and they reference Gabriella, you know, that this is the girl we have in the whorehouse. And he just, you know, steps towards them. Like, clearly he knew what they were saying. And they knew he knew. So, you know, there is maybe this whole thing where John's, the aunt in the film, and, you know, Gabriella's father may have been siblings. All three of them may have been siblings.
Yep.
because
either Abe and siblings, or it's Rambo and two sisters.
Exactly.
Because he shows too much emotion to someone that's like, again, we all have friends that we're close with.
Mm-hmm.
And that would treat their kids as if they were our own.
Yeah.
So, you know, for all intents and purposes, you know, my kids call my best friend, you know, some of my best friend's uncle, because they're like family. So I get what you're saying, but at the same time, like, there's so many, like, is he related? Is he not related to him? I kind of would have liked to have those questions answered, but the way he talked to the guy, the father, you know, he's like, I should have killed you, almost makes you think that Gabriella's mother is his sister.
Exactly. And like, one of the other things is you mentioned the photos on the wall. That would have to be something where we would have to sit down and look for Easter eggs on the photos, or in the photos, because when she was packing them up, being the aunt, you saw photos of John as a kid. You saw photos of all of them. You saw him in his, you know, what must have been out of basic training photo. Absolutely, you saw that kind of stuff. And it's almost like, okay, so what? You're right. That brings up a very valid question. What is the relation of Rambo to them?
I think they are related.
So one of the other things that this film really, what else is open-ended in your opinion on this one?
I think that outside of those few things, I think that there is a little bit more to Rambo than they're really leading on. Like, I think I just felt like there was more to the character that they could have given. Like, if this is the last one, which they've said it is the last one, they could have given you more of who Rambo is. You know what I mean? You know who Rambo is, but they're, everybody else has a past.
Yeah.
They really just don't ever touch, but you have these two people who are in his life. They are clearly these three people that are in his life, four people that are in his life. But why? He went back at the end of Rambo to that farm.
The family farm.
That is a place that he knew that he was safe. How long did he dig those tunnels for?
Yeah, 11 years now.
11 years. That's what you can guess.
Yep.
But could he have started digging them since the first Rambo movie?
And, well, I mean, that was the thing, is that the perception was that ever since the Vietnam War, when he came back, after he came back from, because once again, this goes to the comparison of the book to the film, which, you know, is a dangerous path to take. But if you were to follow the story of the character in the book, he was captured, and then he escaped his capture and spent time in a hospital, got the Congressional Medal of Honor, was released from the military, and spent years just wandering. Like, because he didn't know how to go home after his experience in Viet Cong prison camp.
Yep.
So if you want to go that route, he may have never gone back home. In fact, in Rambo, he mentioned, you know, he's got a father, you know, in Arizona, maybe. But I don't think he mentioned siblings in that film. I'd have to go back, honestly, and rewatch it now that we've had this conversation. Like, because when he had the conversation with Julie Benz's character on the riverboat, I know he mentioned a father. I know he mentioned living in Arizona. Did he mention siblings? Because if he did, that would put validity to everything that you're questioning right now. Is
correct.
Two sisters, and this just happened to be the douchebag brother-in-law, so to speak. Because I'd like to believe that it wasn't just one of those, like, oh, he's my uncle, but he's not really my uncle. It's like, no, it would be cool for them to be like, no, this is, you know, this is his niece. This is his only surviving family other than his aging sister. You know, because that seemed to be the only connection he had to the real world was any hope he had was put into this girl.
Yes.
Who he helped raise.
Correct.
So, after watching this, and like,
because I'm pretty sure there are pictures of him with her on that wall.
Horse competition.
Where she is significantly younger than like six.
Yeah, and see, these are all questions that we'll have to, like, honestly, when the DVD comes out, like, I can guarantee you and I are both gonna be sitting there like, okay, let's look at this, you know, like, let's look at the walls, let's try and figure this out, because yeah, like. But like I mentioned, his real life is under the ground. It's almost a facade above. It's almost like here's the family farm, and here's me underground.
Yep.
You know, much like he said, like I keep everything under a lid. It's like that's his lid. The door going down to the tunnels is his lid. Legitimately, yeah. It's not just figurative, but it's literal. So after this, you know. Do you honestly feel that this is the end?
I want them to say that. I know they said it's the end. I would like to say it is the end. I am okay with Rambo, figuratively speaking, riding off into the sunset. And kind of having a Clint Eastwood type feel ending.
Much like an Unforgiven where he left bloody and he went back to the farm where he had been and they just kind of ended it.
And I mean, you trying hard not to give away any spoilers, but the background scene of where that is shown that he's going, I guess you could say, toward reminds me a lot of First Blood. To me, he's going back to a safe haven, which would be away from civilization altogether.
Yeah. And I mean,
I'm okay with that being the ending.
Yeah.
But again, there's still a lot of there's questions that could be answered. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. I 100% agree. I would like this to be the last. If they're going to call it Last Blood, then goddamn it, let this be Last Blood.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Now, so I mentioned earlier that I was kind of coaxed into getting First Blood the book. Now, due to the fact that you and I both live extremely busy lives. So sitting down and reading a book, like a real book, like paper pages, you know, hardbound, you know, forget, it's nigh impossible. You know what I mean? Like with our busy lives, with our kids, trying to just read a book is fucking torture. So I picked up the audiobook on the Apple Bookstore app, and I started listening to First Blood. The David Morrell book, which if anyone who's listening to this hasn't gotten it, if you can't read it because you're living a super busy life and you're like us where you're in your car more than you are anywhere else, and you don't have time to sit down, it's worth the buy. It was $17.99, I think. And the way that the book is structured and the story that it tells, and the whoever read this book put some real emphasis on representing each one of the characters differently and whatnot, made my gears in my head turn. And I'm going to throw something at you, and I want your honest opinion.
Yep.
Okay. After listening to this book, and I'm almost done with it, okay? I'm probably like 7/8 the way through this book, okay?
Yep.
If this were the movie, this would be the part where he's blowing up the gas station and all the stores in town after getting out of the mountain. Okay?
Yep.
I honestly feel like this book, if done today, if done properly, could be an amazing limited run series on one of the big three original content providing apps, either Netflix, Hulu, or Prime. This could be, if it was done in modern times, with like a 10-episode or 12-episode limited run series, I think First Blood could reinvent the character if done properly.
Oh, yeah, I think so.
Because one of the things that I've discovered about this, and mind you, I'm very hesitant to compare the book to the movie. I think the movie series, these five films, stand alone, but
Oh,
it
yeah.
would be interesting to see them do the story of Rambo and Teasel, which is something that I was pleasantly surprised about with this book. That Teasel kind of comes off as just a fat douchebag, egotistical sheriff with his, for lack of a better, term, putty Power Ranger deputy bad guys. You know what I mean? Like, they're all like, to Teasel's Rita Repulsa. And,
Make my monster grow.
make John Rambo kill. And it's like, so Jesus Christ. So
We went there.
to me, it would be really cool to see this done. And I know there are probably people being like, well, would you do a time period movie? Like, would you do make this the 19? Well, the book was done in like, just to confirm, because I don't want to like speak out of term and whatnot. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, the book was done in 60. Hold on, let me confirm. Let me confirm, because I don't want to upset our listeners with wrong information and have them be like, you fucking suck. Okay, so First Blood, the novel, came out in 1972. Okay, so, and the film came out 10 years later in 1982 after one of the most difficult, one of the longest lags in production. Like, it was sold from studio to studio to studio. It's almost got a Batman 89 feel to it with how bad it was trying to get this onto the silver screen. I know you couldn't, you could attempt to do this film as a 70s timepiece, or an 80s timepiece. But I think it would be cool to see it done with John Rambo being still being Special Forces, still being a Green Beret, but have him been a POW for a short time in Afghanistan, and have
Okay.
Teasel be a Marine who was in Kuwait City during the campaign Operation Desert Shield, Desert Storm,
Oh
fighting
yeah.
against Saddam Hussein and his takeover of Kuwait.
Oh yeah, that I would be good with that. I could see that.
I mean, because I think that there'd be a lot to it, because there's, if, I want people to go and listen to this, or for God's sakes, buy it and, read it. But the imagery and whatnot, the way that the book is written, it's written from both Rambo and Teasel's perspectives. Like, you follow each one of their journeys, and it's almost like you're watching parallel stories go on, but yet it's like one man's perspective and then another man's perspective. So it's kind of like opposing each other. And it's a really cool story.
Oh yeah.
I just don't think there is enough meat on the bones still to have the Sylvester Stallone John Rambo in it.
To have, see, I would be okay with not having. I mean, you have to get the right actor though at this point, because everyone, it's kind of like creating a MacGyver TV show and not having the real MacGyver be MacGyver. It's kind of like, remember, I don't remember, do you remember if I don't know if you remember this, and I like the movie. Did you remember when they came out with the Knight Rider movie?
Yes.
Okay. You had to emphasize that it was not the same character. And I mean, that is what they did. Like, it was not... didn't it end up being, like, his son or something like that?
Yeah, the way that they...
I own the DVD. I can't freaking remember. But I remember it was really good. It's still Kit. Kit is still the car. But it's not... whatchamacallit. Oh my god. Baywatch.
Hasselhoff.
Yeah, it's not the Hasselhoff.
No. And, okay, because there have been several attempts at rebooting shows. Like, Knight Rider was rebooted a few years back. Remember where... They changed the car. They made it, what, a fucking Mustang? And yeah. Hasselhoff made a cameo, but
yes.
He wasn't Michael.
Not Michael.
Which was weird, because it's like, okay, you have Hasselhoff in your show, but it's not Michael. Why?
Yeah.
They have, like, Hawaii Five-O. They have that show on right now with not even, like, a fucking Tom Selleck cameo.
Yep.
You know, they've tried to reboot shows or redo shows without they have a MacGyver show, and they don't have the original MacGyver ever make appearances in it. And, you know, every once in a while they'll do, like, I believe Kung Fu The Legend Continues was one of the very few ones where it was like, okay, David Carradine is reprising his character from Kung Fu. Cool beans. You're continuing on with that shit. In the Star Trek shows, they always have people, you know, come back. I think in Star Trek The Next Generation, in the first season, you had Admiral McCoy. You had at least mentions of Spock. And by, like, the third or... By, like, the fourth season, you'd had Spock show up. You had Scotty show up. And then, of course, Star Trek Generations had fucking William Shatner in it. And then the reboots that came out a few years ago, Star Trek Into Darkness, and Star Trek... what was the third one? Star Trek Beyond? It's like, they had Spock in them. They had old man Spock fucking in them. So it was like, okay, cool. You know, there you go. That is still maintaining somewhat. I do agree with you that it would be weird to see someone other than Sylvester Stallone be John Rambo.
Yeah, you have to be the right person. And here's the thing, even if you didn't want to make, I would be okay with them changing the story. Like, that. If you had to change the character and not have it be John Rambo, I'm okay with just going with the name Rambo. Forget putting John Rambo. John Rambo is sly. Take Rambo and give Rambo life. Like, you don't have to have the same type, because it isn't the same person. You don't need someone that... You need someone that looks like a war hero. Well, a war veteran at that point.
Yeah.
You don't need some jacked dude playing Rambo.
And that was the description in the book... was, you know, long, scraggly hair. And I can see with the book being 1972. Okay, so the description that they had was long, scraggly hair, you know, down past his neck, a big beard, okay, you know, tattered clothes, and, you know, a green fatigue jacket. Well, I don't even think it was a fatigue jacket. I just think it was just a fucking wool jacket. Okay, if you saw that in Kentucky, where this book took place, back in 1972, yeah, you'd think they were a filthy hippie.
Yep,
you know,
exactly.
So you'd have to obviously adapt it, because nowadays to not have a beard looks weird. You know, as funny as that sounds. But it's like to have long hair, and like, it would almost make sense to have him look more military in some place like Portland, Oregon, given the times that we live in, where it's a very liberal part of the country, and to have a war veteran come home and be at odds with law enforcement up there, with him being, you know, like super clean cut, almost, I hate to say it, super right wing looking. But at the same token, that's not how the character was, you know, even in the movie. Like, he had the green jacket with the army, with the United States flag on it. But they did, other than the dog tags, they didn't guess that he was military.
Correct.
They just thought he was a vagrant. And that's what he was almost, that's what they tried to arrest him on, was fucking vagrancy.
Yep.
Killed for vagrancy in Jerkwater, USA.
Yes.
So, I'm assuming we're going to give Rambo Last Blood the up and up and tell people to go see this, and then when it comes out on video on demand or Blu-ray, to buy it.
Just Christian Bale can't play John Rambo ever.
You know, your Batman's starting to sound like Donald Trump too now, too. Like, I almost feel like Batman has an orange spray tan.
Batman does not have an orange spray tan. I persuade, I'm Batman. And Christian Bale. All at once.
Oh, Jesus. So, that about wraps it up for this episode of Films of Fury. And I believe...
Christian Bale hate mail.
I know. Fucking poor Christian Bale. But that's not the Batman character we're going to be talking about next when we meet, is it?
No, it's not.
Oh, because, ladies and gentlemen, the next time...
Thursday can't come soon enough.
That Mr. McCloud and I talk on a podcast, it is going to be talking about what may be the most controversial film in quite a long time. Todd Phillips's Joker. So stay tuned for that episode. That's going to be fun. Like, that's going to be a riot. So... yes,
I cannot wait.
Oh, fuck no. As always, you
film of the year and Joaquin Phoenix getting an Oscar for it.
Yeah.
I'm calling my shot.
Right, do you now. Think we're going to have two actors? Well, you know what? We'll save that question, but we'll just leave it in the air. Do you think there's going to be two actors who have portrayed the Joker receiving Oscars for the Joker's performance? We'll talk about that on the next episode. As always, you can find Films of Fury wherever you get your fine-ass podcasts. And you can find me on the social media at TheSergeantFury for Instagram and Twitter, and at FOF Podcast for this podcast. Evan, where can they find you at?
Evan McCloud 1, the number 1, on Twitter. Evan McCloud and the number 99 on Instagram. And you can find me wrestling at UPW. In November 6th in Rochester, New York. If you want to follow me on weightwatchers.com, feel free.
Follow him. November 6th? That's an unusual show date. Huh.
Yes, it is. Yes. Yeah. Close to someone's birthday?
I believe.
Sorry, not November 6th.
Oh, okay.
November 9th.
Oh, I was just about to say, I'm like, huh, November 6th is like the middle of the week, because November 10th, I'm going to be running the Spartan Stadium in Boston. So I was like, that's a weird day to have a show, the middle of the week, huh?
Well, there has been jokes we've been talking about running a show during the week, because we're going to get 100 people at a small venue on a Saturday. Probably get those 100 people on a small venue on a Wednesday too, or a Friday or a Thursday.
That is true, and like, there's a lot of promoters that find success running on Fridays and Sundays now, strangely enough. Early afternoon Sunday shows might work for you.
Just not during football season. It's a really bad idea.
Yeah, especially out in Western New York where, you know, yeah. Bills Mafia represent.
I'm pretty sure anywhere in the world during the months of late August through February 4th, you know, that weekend, because that's my birthday weekend, that's usually when the Super Bowl is, Sundays, yeah.
No bueno. That about wraps it up, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for listening to us rap about Rambo. So,
Rambo!
As always, for Evan McCloud, this is Sergeant Fury. Stay Furious.
And Batman.
And Pillman. Out.